Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
Let's jump into this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And I just call this according to your faith. It's a verse in a church like this that you've heard before, preached on before, and referred to often. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this: "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world." What is it?
Our faith.
Whose faith?
Our faith.
No, no. Whose faith?
Our.
No, no. Yeah, there you go. He was talking to all of us, and I need to hear you say, "My faith." Everybody say, "My faith." All right, now one qualifier, and I love it. I told Pastor Mike between the services, I said, "So glad to be in a church." I usually have to spend like 10, I'm dead serious, 10 minutes qualifying what I'm about to do so that people don't think that I'm a certain category of faith believer that comes off very negatively in our world today. I don't have to do that here, thank God, because this is a church filled with faith and the message of faith. And so I just want you to know that I understand that we live in a rebellious planet. A planet that is in rebellion to its creator. It just is. And some of that rebellion is straight out, "I hate you, God, don't want you, God, don't want your people, your Bible, your church, we don't even believe in you, But there's really not that many of those kind of people on the earth. The other kind of people, there really isn't. They get a lot of press, but they shouldn't. There's not very many of them, and they're pretty stupid. The people who rebel against God are a different category. It's by ignoring him. By actually not paying attention to him when they're told of him. And when they do that, they're in rebellion to God. So when you're in a planet that is in rebellion to its creator, it starts doing things that are in opposition to its creator and breaks the laws and principles of creation. And then suffering happens. Hello, everybody. We hurt each other. Pastor Mike was just talking about sex trafficking. How horrifying is that? And people hurt one another, they abuse one another, they lie to one another, they cheat to one another. Our nation is in a hyper state of belligerence right now. Everybody's mad, everybody's angry, everybody's screaming, everybody's pointing, everybody's blaming, everybody's hurting. And when people are hurting, what do hurt people do?
Hurt people.
And we just live in this antagonistic culture. And then there's sickness and there's disease and there's things that are on this planet because the planet is in rebellion from the garden to its creator. So bad things are going to happen. I know that. I don't have a faith gospel that I can tell you that no bad things are going to happen to you. One message of faith is this, is that we will endure in faithful joy and bring faith and victory and testimony to the glory and power of our Jesus in our endurance whenever he doesn't change it. That is one of the messages of faith that I believe is faith. When I hear somebody's testimony of how they got, like we sang in that, if you sang that song, you believe what I just said. He gets us through. You go through things. You may go through the entirety of your life with certain things going on, but you do it with victory, with a blessing, with favor, with a sense of Jesus on you, and God gets all the glory from your life. That is the victory that overcomes the world. All right, but I know you're going, "Oh, but that's not where I want to land today. I want to go the other way." That was the qualifier. And especially now that I know God has got some assignments in this room that I'm responsible for getting to you. You have some strongholds that are in front of you. You have some places that the enemy is holding in front of you that God is going, "You, my daughter, you, my son, change that." Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, just to finish up that one little qualifying thought, says this: "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." For what? All endurance and patience with joy. So there is a victory in being victorious in endurance. But God sometimes singles out areas of our life and says, "I need you to refuse to accept that. You have to determine that is unacceptable. that I'm not going to just manage it and endure it to the end. Well, God is going to position me to change it. Now, bear with me, because you're going, I thought you just said, just hold on. Because I wanted to take the rest of this message and make it a testimony of something that's happened to me in the last year. All right, it's been about a year. And it was a paragraph that I read in a book that got me started. The book I think, something called Spiritual Dynamics by Richard Lovelace. It's a classic. It's very famous. And it's all about spiritual renewals in the body of Christ. It's a study of them, why they worked, how they stopped, what you do with them, how you lead to them. And he writes in this paragraph, and I think it's on the screen for us this time, so follow along with me. Here's what he says. As we grow spiritually and become engaged in the labors of the kingdom, we run into things which block Christ's work in our lives and in his work in the world. However mountainous these are, we have authority to move them out of the way of the victorious Lord. As God alerts us to such blockages and gives us a sense of urgency and intolerance against them, we have the same authority that he promised Jeremiah, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Now, if you guys, I don't know how it comes on the screen. Can you go back to that underlined sentence? There it is. And I'm going to read it again. As God alerts us to such blockages and gives us a sense of urgency and intolerance against them. And I'm reading this book. And it just keeps coming out. So I read the sentence over and over and over because I knew that the Holy Spirit was putting his hand on it. Not like it's scripture. That's not scripture. He was speaking to me from something a man wrote. And it kept coming out. And I thought, okay. And then he said, Russ, there's things in your life that I want you to stop managing. And I want you to fight. And I thought, well, Lord, I'm fighting everything. That's what I thought I was doing. And then he began to teach me the difference between managing something that's not changing to be in faithful endurance, to joyfully serve Jesus with an unchanging situation, and to be in another position every time that thing came up to go, no, I don't manage this. I go into fight mode. All right, so there's a difference, and I'm going to try to explain it to you, and I want you to know. I'm going to say this right now at the outset. You cannot do this with everything you're praying about. You're not built for it. You don't have the emotional. You don't have the physical. You don't have the intellectual bandwidth to do what I'm about to talk with on everything that you're praying about and believing for or all that's wrong in the earth. But God will assign every person in this room certain things in seasons of your life to go, no, you're going to take a different posture. You'll get that in a minute. A different posture every time you think about that. Every time it crosses your mind, you will change emotionally, intellectually, and physically. Something will happen to you because I'm going to use you to tear down that stronghold. I'm going to use you to bring change, even if it's nothing but the way you pray. So I was hip and I thought, Lord, what am I managing? And I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to tell you any of the things that, Lord, I only have two. I asked for a third. I don't really know if I ever got permission. I just keep asking for it in the same way every time it comes up. But there's two that I know came out of heaven that he gave me. And then I added one because it's a desire of my own heart. So I've taken a different approach to how I face these things, all right? So I'm not managing them, I'm fighting them. So here's what I mean by posture. All the brothers and some of the ladies who are in sports, you know that what's called the athletic position, you know, backside down, to knees bent, arms out, this is the athletic position. This is how you wrestle. This is how you play defense on basketball. This is how you... That's your best position on a football field, athletic position. When you get in the athletic position, you're tense. This is not comfortable. This is not comfortable at all. If I did this for very long, it would hurt. This is not the athletic position, walking around. This is not the athletic position. This is not the athletic position. Sitting in a chair is not the athletic position. All of those are good positions, and they're for the right times, the right thing to be in. But God says, when that comes up, when that hits your mind again, for the rest, and I asked the Lord, I said, how long? And he said, that's not the right question. I was wondering, you know, like I wanted to look forward to the, he goes, I've called you to fight it. The timing is mine. The fight is yours. So if you breathe your last breath and I bring that to your mind, you better be in that hospital bed and you better get in the athletic position, because I've called you to defeat this thing. And you say, well, Russ, that's not a victory, isn't it? Because I know this, the reason the Lord had to tell me that, my brothers, is because if I thought there was an end in sight, I would quit. There can be no quit in you. There cannot be any place where you go, that's enough. There cannot be any enough for you if you've been called and assigned a stronghold to take down with urgency and intolerance. And that's the two words that God gave me. He said, first of all, he said, I don't want you to ever tolerate again. When it comes up to you, you want to have a spirit of intolerance. No, that doesn't exist. That won't stay here. It will not be here. And he said, and then I want you to see that I will, in that intolerance, birth an urgency in you. The spirit, my spirit will begin to stir you inside to where you pray differently. You confess differently. You walk differently. You do everything differently every time that thing comes to your mind. And what I have found by living this way, it actually becomes a discipleship process. It transforms me into the image of Jesus, because God keeps using that. I'm going, oh, and then oh, it comes to my mind. I can be walking through the airport and that thing comes to my mind, and inside I get in the athletic position. Now, I want to give you three things that you need to do. And I want you to think about this. The first thing you got to do is upgrade your strategy. If you're going to go into this fight, you got to upgrade your strategy. Now, I'm not a big self-help guy, because I've read the Bible, and the Bible doesn't say I can do much to help myself. If we have me helping me, we're in trouble. And so I don't have a big self-help thing, but I understand some of the concepts. Of course, they've tried to do it without God, and anything you try to do without God's idolatry, and so that's sin. That's pretty dark. And so, there's certain things that these guys come up with that are pretty impressive. Come on now. You know those little videos, guys, you listen to with the guy telling you to, you know, it comes on with the music. Don't you wish everything in life came with music? You know what I'm saying? Don't you wish when you came in to, you know, talk to your wife real sweet, that some kind of music would start playing in the background like in a movie? You know what I mean? If music would just come around every time. Like every time I wanted to preach, it's a boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm going? Yeah, now we're inspired, baby. And we're walking now. But God makes me do it without the music. But there's this one statement, and this is kind of what I want to talk about on this one. A little bit dangerous, so I qualified it. But you got to participate in your own rescue. You have to participate in your own rescue. In other words, you got to put in. Yeah, you're trying to get everybody else to do something for you, ain't going to work. You're going to have to put in for your own rescue. You're going to have to involve yourself in it. So with this statement, you have to upgrade your strategy. All I'm saying is this: what you've been doing is not going to be enough if God has said, I need you to take that thing down. Because what it takes to manage it is not the same thing it takes to defeat it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The thing to manage it well, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Until God goes, no, you will never be tolerant of that again, and I'm going to birth urgency in you. And so you're going to have to change how you view that situation. So you're going to have to upgrade your strategy. You're going to have to do things different. You can't keep doing them the same and just do them a little harder. You're going to have to do different things. Yeah, it's... If you're going to get in the athletic position for this, then, you know, here's what I'm saying, and then we need to move on. Here's what I'm saying about this. You say, what should I do differently? I don't know. Do you have your confession sheets? I mean, everybody's had a set now and then they threw them away. Got tired of doing them. I mean, and on that particular situation, that stronghold that God calls you, you need to go find Bible verses that say that thing shouldn't exist. And then you put them on your doors, you put them in your car. You say, God, for the rest of my life, these scriptures are coming out of me with fire. I'm not just going to say them out of my duty. They're coming out of me like fire, like Satan's listening to me right now. And I'm going to make him suffer when I say these things right now. I'm going to hurt his feelings. I'm going to drive him nuts. He won't believe that I'm sitting here in this situation, in the athletic position, speaking the word of God. Are you speaking the word of God? Because if you stop doing that, that's not the athletic position. What's your prayer life like? Do you pray to find a place of authority, or do you pray to get done? See, I pray to find a place of authority. You know, let me tell you something real quick. See what I'm doing to myself here. Is everybody still with me? Because I'm about to go somewhere else and come back. This is called charismatic preaching on steroids. And so this is where everybody goes, now that's the anointed part. Just because I didn't prepare it, that cracks me up. And they go, he didn't prepare that. That was God. So the part I wasn't is a little less Jesus, I guess. Now I forgot what I was going to say. That's charismatic too. You don't even. What was it? Authority. Thank you. See, that's why with body ministry we work together, but anointing. I asked God to anoint me for this morning, but that's for you. I don't need anointing to hear me. The anointing is when God comes on something that is less than capable, and makes it capable to do something for His glory. It's an oil that comes on, and then when I go to the airport, it won't be there, that oil. It's an anointing for a moment. It's a charisma. That's for people. Authority's for the devil. To walk in the anointing is for the people. You need anointing to walk with your husband, with your wife, with your children. You need anointing to be at work. You need anointing to be in church. You need anointing. Anointing isn't just for preaching. You need the Spirit of God to come on you in anointing with His favor and grace and bless you. Authority is when you've prayed yourself to a place of brokenness, repentance, crying out, when you're weeping over your city, when you're just driven and you're standing there, and then finally God breaks through and He puts you in a place of influence in the spiritual realm to where now you are telling the devil what to do and you're not just walking around being told what to do. Getting to a place of authority is much different than getting to an anointing. Another sermon, another time. Another sermon, another time. But you're going to have to upgrade your strategy. Don't go to church twice a month. Go to church every time the church doors are open. Those of you that are online, for different reasons, we understand that. And we're not pointing a finger at you saying you're bad. But could you put down your coffee and breakfast and dog? Since we're here at church and got dressed and cleaned up and everything, how about you? Because the easier you... Where's the camera at anyhow? Up there somewhere. There you are. And so listen, at least go to church when we go to church. Don't listen to this at 1 o'clock. That's too easy. We sacrifice to be here. You sacrifice. Those kind of things get you into the athletic position. So we understand you not being here, but please take the situation you're in and use it as a different strategy to be ready to face the devil. Upgrade your strategy. Get to your life group every time it meets. Read that Bible. Study it. Turn some stuff off. Turn some stuff off. Stop listening to it. Cut your social media in half. You got to, if you're going to go fight the devil like I'm talking about, you got to change your strategy. And you'll see what's happening. You see what happens. You change your strategy. You know what's really happening? God's changing you. Yes. Worship. I didn't get to say all these things the first service. This is fun. But you don't come in and watch. These people didn't get up here and work this week and get ready for these songs. They didn't pray over this thing so you could watch it. I'm not judging you. I'm not mad at you. All right, I probably sound like that, so let me just... I'm from the South, and that's how I run. But I want to invite you in. Sing. Let those words come out. look up on that screen. I told Mike, I said, I got to get back out in a worship service. I'm going to all three worship services. I take a little break, miss a song or two, but man, I've got to get out here and sing before I preach. Amen. I'm not a professional. I'm a needy man that wants to walk in authority and have an anointing for this moment. So I got to worship. You got to change. You can't just watch. You got to. So all those spiritual disciplines, all that kind of stuff, you got to change your strategy. Number two, you have to become a person that refuses to manage what you can change. Now, this is kind of like, it's kind of like changing your muscle for how you view things. Because you have stuff at home, you have things all over your world that you're leaving there. Like, you go home, fellas, you look at that garage, and you know you should have done that about 12 months ago. Hello, get anybody right now? I see your hand. And you just don't do it because you're just managing it. It bothers you, but it's not a big deal until it's a big deal. And so I have this whole thing, the way the Lord started me out on this, and I don't have time for it, but I read that book, it was a secular book, read the book Atomic Habits. Anybody read that book, Atomic Habits? Changed my life. Started out with water bottles. I was a conservative with water bottles. So I would drink a bottle of water in my truck and throw it over in the passenger floor. I would drink a bottle of water, throw it on the passenger floor. I never threw my bottles out, and I would wait until I got a big group over there, and then I'd get them all out one day. And then one day a guy got in my truck, and he went, man. And it was a little bit embarrassing. I went, And I'm not looking good right now. And so they teach in this book. They taught in the book, you know, just take some tiny habits and never not do them again. I don't have time to go into it. So I thought, you know what? I'm never going to leave a water bottle in my truck again, ever. When it's empty, it goes with me. And I started that out. The first time I forgot a couple and had to walk back. But I mean, if I get to a store and the water bottle's empty, I take it with me to the store and throw it in the store trash. I never leave a water bottle. He said, well, Russ, what in the world? This is a spiritual church here. Let's do something spiritual. I'm getting to a point. Because they said if you'll start doing tiny habits like that and never not do them, your life will start to change on the bigger ones. And so for 3 years now, I've never left a water bottle in my truck, ever. I've had to go back a couple of times. But I take it with me because I'm training myself to not manage. And by taking that water bottle, I change the future because it's not there. When you move stuff that's in the future that you can move right now, move it now and get it out of your future. All right, now, here's what this has got to do with faith. We got to move on. So I go on a prayer walk. Not every day, but that's my favorite thing to do is go on a prayer walk. And so I have these sidewalks that are pretty away from houses. One of them's along a golf course. One of them's along a road. I love the one on the road because cars are going by. It's a pretty busy street, so you can't hear. That's where I'm praying in the spirit. I'm out there shouting at the devil, you know what I mean? And just kind of just carrying on and having a big time. I wait till I get there, and man, I'm out there. And it always worries me when somebody comes up behind me because it's happened a few times. I don't hear them. And I'm like, ato boko hey, I'm out there praying in the spirit, and all these things are going on. And then they run by me, and they're like, I was going, hey, look, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. And they will not look back. They always go just a hair faster, you know what I'm saying? They think I'm one of those guys on the streets of New York. Don't make eye contact with him. Dude's crazy. And so I have this time of prayer. Well, I walk with my head down a lot. And because I'm praying and thinking, and there's this one sidewalk where this little branch is sticking out, and it hits me in the head. It's perfect. It hits right there. It always scares me. So I'm walking along, I go, ah! It's such a distraction to me. It's so frustrating to me. I think, man, remember where that is. You're supposed to go around. And so this goes on for months. I don't hit it every time, but just enough time, probably 10 times. I'm walking along. And so all of this is inside me right now, this new thing. And I'm just urging about stuff. I'm trying to learn how to fight better. I'm trying to be this man who's going to move this blockade in life. And then this one day I'm walking along, sure enough, and it hits me in the head. I go, man, I think I always keep it clean. As far as I could tell, I think I always keep it clean. And it's just me and Jesus out there, so I'm pretty sure I did. But it makes me so mad when I hit that thing because it scares me. And so I go, God, I got to remember to walk around this. And I hear the Lord. I promise, gang. He goes, why are you managing that? And because it was the language that I knew he used there, I knew something was up. So I go, I don't know. And I turn and I look at this little branch, and it takes me literally 8 seconds. I go, pop. And I throw it down, and I go on, and I thought, and he goes, there. He said, you'll never have to think about it again. He said, but you just were letting it stay there. Why are you letting that stuff stay there? Why are you letting that stuff in life, those little irritations, stay there? Because when you start taking those things out, you're building your muscle for the big one. I'm about to tell you about it. So here's the little branch. So I go back and get the branch. That little thing caused me agony. Distracted me in the middle of my prayer life. You got some of those. Only take you a few seconds to tear them down, but you've learned to manage it. And you got to go, I am not going to manage that which I can change, because I'm going to a place where I'm going to fight that which I can't. You have to build your faith. Here's how you'll know you're one of these people. You say things like, one of these days. How about today? Next time, I need to put a stop to this. Now, you're not stopping it, but you know you need to. I don't want to take the time right now. I need to be better at avoiding this, or keep your head up, dummy. That would be me. If I didn't have my head down there, I had all these ways of avoiding that branch rather than take the branch out. So you got to learn to take the initiative to remove the irritations in your life, because you're getting yourself to a place in your mind to get into this athletic position for the things you can't. That's number three. Number three. You must identify any path that other quote-unquote managers have carved out that you are on that is less than the best for your calling in life. All right, back to my my prayer walk. So we have a sidewalk, so follow my hands here. The sidewalk's going like this, so I'm following. And then it goes like this and bends around this thing in the woods. It bends like this. So the sidewalk's here and here. Right here was this big palmetto bush. And over time, the city takes care of all this. The palmetto grew out over the sidewalk. And when the palmetto grew out over the sidewalk, we all started walk. Anybody on the sidewalk walked around it, because the branches were all sticking out. And they were pretty big branches. And they were kind of prickly. And so it got to a point where from here to here, instead of going like this on the sidewalk, like it was made, people started walking through the grass from this point to avoid the salt palmetto bush. And so many people did it that a dirt path was formed. So I'm walking along one day and I see the dirt path. I see the palmetto. So what do? I get on the dirt path, what everybody else does. I'm walking on that path. And again, I'm sorry for this, but again, the Lord used all this in this little season of time. I'm walking on this dirt path. He goes, why are you on the path? I'm going, what are you asking me? So I know something's up that I'm supposed to stop and think about. And he says, why are you on this path? I'm going, because the saw palmetto bush is there. And I know I can't just go cut it down. You can't just go break a saw palmetto bush off. And it's too big. This wasn't one I could just... And he said, I need you to move that. Oh, no, now that, Lord, that's a lot more. He goes, but look at you. He said, other people have cut a path when my calling is on the sidewalk. He said, you're here when I want you to be here. You need to move that saw palmetto bush. So I know something's up in all of this. These two things that God has given me, that he's teaching me something. So it isn't just breaking a branch off that's going to get the miracle I want. That's just training me. But now I know we're upgrading. You see, because some of you are on a path your parents put you on. You walk that path because of the household you were raised in. Some of you are on a path because your friends are on it. Some of you have friends that follow Jesus, but they don't follow him well enough. And they have a path. And you're following their path instead of the one in the Word of God. In other words, you've got to find out how other people might be managing a path that everybody's on that God doesn't want you on. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't follow everybody. You've got to follow the Bible. And the Bible's going to, you're going to go, well, everybody's off here for the same reason that I'm off here. And you're going, but I've called you today. You're going to leave this room with something that you're going to change. You're going to cut those branches down. Everybody's still here.
Yes.
So I said, Lord, I'll be right back. So I walked back home. It was about a mile. I thought I'll go home and get a saw and some hedge things. And I'll be right back. So then and you can make excuses for this kind of thing. Because the city's supposed to take care of that. In fact, I'd thought that several times. City needs to cut this bush down. Man, we pay taxes for this. I'm walking over here in the dirt because the city's not out here doing their job. You ever think of how stupid we sound to God sometimes? We're up there, the reason I'm doing this, Lord, is because they don't do it. And the Lord goes, what now? You're not doing my word because what? You're not living in the abundant life because of what? Because they don't do it? So you're letting them tell you what kind of life you're going to live? Who you blaming? Do you have a bad dad? I had one of the worst you could ever imagine. He was a beater. He was a drunk. Beat my mom unconscious several times. As a little guy, I pulled her up off the floor. Broken nose, blood, hair laying all over the place. Drug her in thinking she was dead. As a little guy, that's how I was raised. What's your excuse, pal? Somebody rape you when you were younger? You say, Russ, now be careful. That's a sensitive. Yes, it is. But so was me. My little mom, my little guy pulling my mom around the house thinking she's dead. What am I going to do? Look at that saw palmetto bush and go, Lord, it's because my dad was that way, I'm this way. He's going, but I gave you the word. I gave you my spirit. I redeemed you. I've given you the church. I've given you people to walk with. I've given you the ability. Get back on the sidewalk. Don't blame your dad. Don't blame that guy who took advantage of you. I know things happen bad. I know there's things we need to get through. But listen, don't walk a dirt path when God has called you to be on a sidewalk. You understand? So I get home and I get all my stuff, get my keys, and I turn around. And Florida has these, what we call like these bursts of rain. I open the door and it's just pouring. So I know you're going, so with that determination, Russ, you went right out in the rain. I said, must not be the Lord. No, I did. I sat there. I go, I'll go get it later. All this urgency was on me in this moment. I was sick of that palmetto bush, and then it was raining. When you decide that you're going to get in the athletic position and you're going to fight something, don't think all of a sudden God's going to go, it's all good from here. Now that I got you in position, no, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And I'm standing looking at the rain. I'm going, I'll get it later. And I felt, this time you could, the Lord give you a word? No, conviction. I thought, you weakling, you pathetic piece of Christian. You are so ridiculous. You know this is the moment, and now you're afraid to get wet. So I said, I'll be right back, Lord. I went and got me a wide brim hat, got my saw, got my things, got my truck, because I wasn't going to walk all the way back in the rain. I wasn't that dedicated. And so I drove over, got out of the truck, and I got ready. And I'm sitting there, and it's pouring. If you've ever been in Florida, they have these afternoon things, it just pours. And it's just, and I'm standing there soaking wet, but I am determined. I'm coming to cut this thing down. It's time to move. I'm in the athletic position, and I get there, and this is what I see. Somebody cut it down. While I was gone, the city showed up. So I'm sitting, I wish you could have seen me. I wish we had a video of this. I'm sitting out there. I got this wide brim hat, rain pouring off it. I'm soaking wet, standing there with a saw and these big clippers. Looking at this thing, trying to figure out what in the world has happened. And I'm truly, now listen to me, I'm truly disappointed. I was ready to obey God and get in the game and be the one he used to cut it down. I wanted to cut that down myself. And it's raining. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm truly disappointed that I didn't get to take it down. And I hear the Lord say to me in the rain, all I wanted to see was you like this. I needed to know that your faith got to your point. No rain, no inconvenience, no excuse. And I wanted to see you with such a holy desire that you would be disappointed that I even did it for you because you wanted to do it for me. So some of you this morning got to get in the athletic position. Not just today, every day. For something. For something. You start by taking the things you can manage, and fix, and stop managing them. I did this at home, at our church at home. People have fixed stuff in their house. It's so funny, they've come back to me and told me, that cabinet door had been swinging off to the left for 6 years. But I went home and fixed it today. I didn't care about their cabinet door, and God doesn't either. But when they were training their mind to get ready for the stronghold that Satan is sitting in mocking the world, mocking the church. When you see Satan mocking them every once in a while, don't you want to just go, I'm mad. I'm going to change parts of my life to change that. I'm going to give God more space so that I can take that stronghold down. Come on, church. And then get to a place where you'll be angry when he took it down for you. But so many times, our verse said, according to my faith. And some of you have got to get to a place where when you go out in the rain, tired of walking on somebody else's path when God's given you one better, an urgency in your soul comes up. When the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, it says the Holy Spirit rushed upon people, which is different than what we know in our new age of grace of the Holy Spirit coming up within us. But I also think there's a coming on upon us that is so important. Because you, my sister, you, my brother, have been called to bring his kingdom in a world that is rebelling against him. And if you don't have something out there that is making you angry, not belligerent, not unkind, in fact, maybe the opposite, because you're in this stance, maybe humble, maybe forgiving, maybe unrelenting. And Satan goes, man, I gotta get rid of you. And you're going, ain't no way. You're getting rid of me till you change that. In the first service, you say, what was the word for the first service? I'll just share it with you. I don't know if it fits here. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. When an excuse comes up, going, I don't want an excuse. What's that old saying? Excuse is a skin of reason stuffed with a lie. Stop making excuses and make a difference. So the scripture that God has laid on my heart, and I'm going to go, and then I want to pray for you today, if Pastor will let me, one more time. And I think I'm supposed to be done here a few minutes ago. So in Romans chapter 4, this is what God has given me. To go with this now. Abraham saw his own body 100 years old, looked right at it, saw Sarah's womb that had been barren all of her 90 years of life, but had a promise from God, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a family. Says that he looked at it and considered him who was able to raise the dead, bring resurrect that which was dead and gone. And to cause to exist things you couldn't even see. They didn't even exist yet. He just made them there. Abraham put his faith in that God. And then watch this. And it said, no unbelief. Now, I've always read that like you can't have unbelief. I don't read it that way anymore. It says no unbelief. Meaning for a moment, God looked at his body in the mirror of a pool of water. Looked at Sarah who had never had a baby. And the thing went right by his mind, just like it does yours and I's. Ain't going to happen. Not with that. And every time that happened, I believe Abraham went, well, I wasn't putting my faith in my body or her womb. My faith is in he who raises the dead and him who causes things to exist that don't exist. So that doesn't even matter. Those things don't even matter. No unbelief is going to make me waver, but I will grow strong in my faith, giving glory to God, knowing, fully convinced that he is able to do what he told me he would do. That's my scripture. Now, I'm going to pray two things over you. But if you know your assignment already this morning, when you know God has said, never will you tolerate that again. You're angry on the inside in a righteous indignation. And the spirit of urgency is coming on you even as I talk. I want to pray for a gift of faith to fall on you for your first season of this. Now, you have to grow in your own. But the gift of faith is something the Holy Spirit pours out. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet, just right where you are, and I'm going to pray over you real quick. Lift both hands. Lord, I lift up holy hands. I'm reaching for you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I know there's something you're birthing in my heart right now that is my... Everybody doesn't have to jump on board with me. I'll go alone if I need to. That's how urgent this is in me. So, Lord God, I pray for whatever you're speaking to my sister, my brother, the thing that's in front of them. Maybe it's something in their family, somebody at work, something in their neighborhood, something in their own life, something in the church, something in the city, something in their culture. Lord God, but they know that they've been called. It's an assignment from heaven that till they breathe their last breath, if it hasn't changed, they'll be in the athletic position every time it comes to their mind, that something different will happen in their prayer life at that moment. Something incredibly powerful will take place every time they pray that way, that they will beat on hell's doors every time it comes to their mind. They will drive the enemy back. Darkness will not stand when light abounds. So, Father, I pray that as you assign them right now, that a spirit of faith will fall on every man and woman in this room with their hands raised up. Holy Spirit, rush upon them right now. Bring the gift of faith that is talked about in Scripture upon them and give them a faith that's not their own, that, Lord God, comes from heaven above, and may it train them on what faith looks like. Impart the gift of faith to this church in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, church. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.